Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond from the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. Today is the 1st of May, 2020, the first Friday of the month of May, which is the month of Mary, and today is the feast day of Saint Joseph the Worker. I am broadcasting alone today at home, from home, and I hope everyone listening is safe and well. At this time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Archbishop Gomez is reconsecrating the United States to Mary. You can watch it on EWTN or on relevant radio. Of course, I'm not telling you to stop listening to me, but you can skip this and just listen to the reconsecration. And then you can listen to this broadcast later on when it's uploaded to the archives Legion of Mary page. It will be available for you to listen maybe on Tuesday or later than that. For those who are still listening, after our Divine Mercy Chaplet prayer, please stay tuned as I will be sharing with you stories and reflections about St. Louis Marie de Montfort, St. Catherine of Siena, and St. Joseph the Worker. Before we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, let us reflect on the pure love of God from the diary of Saint Faustina. The ultimate purpose of your life is love, and more specifically, it is first to love God with a pure love. For love to be pure, it must be freed from all selfishness. Pure love looks only at the one being loved. When we love God with a pure love, we will find that we are drawn to God for His sake, because He is glorious and worthy of our love, and because loving Him is right and just. When we can love in this way, selflessly and focused only on God's greatness and beauty, then we will discover something else quite glorious. We will discover that as a result of our pure love of God, we are also filled with a joy so abundant and powerful that we need no other reward. The joy that fills us as a result of loving God with a pure love becomes so strong that it overflows into a profound and sincere love for others. This is the greatest satisfaction in life. We truly need nothing else to be happy beyond measure. Are you happy? If not, what do you blame for your lack of happiness? It is easy to point and assign blame. However, we must realize that happiness comes only as a result of our choice to love God with a pure heart of love. Reflect upon whether this is something you are experiencing in your life. Ponder the love and affection you have for God. Think about how strong or how weak this love is. And remind yourself that if you love God purely and above all else, this love will order your life so perfectly that the joy you experience will satisfy you above any other earthly consolation. If you want to be happy, seek to love God with a complete and pure heart. Lord, I know my love for you is far from perfect. Help me this day to turn my eyes and heart more fully to you, so that my love of you may be purified, allowing me to love you above all things for your own sake, because you do deserve my total love. In my love of you, I thank you for the joy that this produces. May that joy overflow so abundantly that I find perfect satisfaction and happiness in this love. Jesus, I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now we'll talk about Saint Louis Marie de Montfort, who is an ardent preacher and lover of God. His feast day was April 28th. The English writer Graham Greene grew up Anglican, with the typical anti-Catholic biases of his 20th century generation. One of those biases firmly held that Catholics worshipped the Virgin Mary and thus deflected toward Christ's mother the glory due to him alone. But when Green started dating an educated Catholic girl, she taught him that Catholics rendered latria, which is worship, to God, dulia, which is praise, to the saints, and hyperdulia, which is an abundance of praise, to Mary. That made sense. It made sense. Worship is given to God alone. Praise is given to the saints. And Mary is rendered a unique intensity of praise in recognition of her unique role in salvation history. Graham was convinced. For these and other reasons, he entered the church. He went on to become a well-known novelist on Catholic themes, in part because a teenage girl he once dated knew some basic theology. Throughout the centuries since the Reformation, Catholics have been accused of granting to Mary what is due only to God. This false accusation is more apparent than real, but its appearance sometimes even bothers Catholics. As a young man, the future Pope St. John Paul II wondered whether he gave Mary too central a role in his devotions, prayer, and reading. But the writings of St. Louis Marie de Montfort helped the young Pole place Marian devotion in its wider theological context. Pope St. John Paul II routinely gave thanks to St. Louis de Montfort's book, True Devotion to Mary, for helping him develop a more mature Marian spirituality. The Pope even borrowed from de Montfort the Latin Totus Tuus as his papal motto. De Montfort had written to the Virgin, "I am all yours, and all that is mine belongs to you." When we honor Mary, Mary honors God along with us. Louis-Marie de Montfort was never not in love with God. He was one of 18 children born to his parents. 11 of them are saints. Louis and 10 of his siblings who died as babies shortly after their baptisms. Even as a child, Louis was devoted to prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. He studied under the Jesuits as a teen and then attended theology classes at Saint-Sulpice in Paris. He was ordained a priest at the age of 27. He at first wanted to become a missionary, like so many ardent French priests of his time. But a spiritual director advised against it, and Louis became a hospital chaplain, preached missions, and served as a confessor. Father Louis was interpersonally awkward and ardent to the point of making others uncomfortable, all of which confined his priestly ministry to non-traditional forums. He also lived in radical poverty, owning nothing, carrying no money, and even abandoning his family name Grignon, to be known only by his town, Montfort. Louis de Montfort's intense devotional life, theatrical preaching style, moral uprightness, and visions of Mary, the angels, and Satan were interpreted as holy foolishness by many in the church who wished him ill. The Jansenists, an ultra-rigorous branch of the French church, particularly despised his preaching on God's love and mercy. St. Louis' itinerant life ended due to physical exhaustion at the young age of 43. He practiced such extreme physical penances that his body was well prepared for the grave when he died. He was a priest only 16 years. It is possible that his life and writings did more good for future ages than they did for his own. His writings on Mary, in particular, were rediscovered and published in the 19th century, leading to his canonization in 1947 and to his wide fame in the church. Our saint died with a statue of the Virgin Mary in one arm and a crucifix given him by the Pope in the other arm. He felt attacked by the devil in his last agony and yelled at him, "You attack me in vain. I stand between Jesus and Mary. I have finished my course. I shall sin no more." He was buried, per his request, under an altar dedicated to his lady, to Our Lady. We pray. Saint Louis Marie de Montfort, we ask your intercession before God in heaven to inflame in all hearts a fire that burns like yours with love for the Holy Trinity. Help all who read your works to profit from their wisdom and so grow closer to God's Mother. Amen. And since we're missing the consecration that is happening now in all the dioceses in the U.S. and Canada, we will now pray the solemn act of consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I, a repentant sinner, renew and ratify today in your hands, O Immaculate Mother, the vows of my baptism. I renounce Satan and resolve to follow Jesus Christ even more closely than before. Mary, I give you my heart. Please set it on fire with love for Jesus. Make it always attentive to his burning thirst for love and for souls. Keep my heart in your most pure heart, that I may love Jesus and the members of his body with your own perfect love. Mary, I entrust myself totally to you, my body and soul, my goods, both interior and exterior, and even the value of all my good actions. Please make of me, of all that I am and have, whatever most pleases you. Let me be a fit instrument in your immaculate and merciful hands, for bringing the greatest possible glory to God. If I fall, please lead me back to Jesus. Wash me in the blood and water that flow from his pierced side, and help me never to lose my trust in this fountain of love and mercy. With you, O Immaculate Mother, you who always do the will of God, I unite myself to the perfect consecration of Jesus as he offers himself in the Spirit to the Father for the life of the world. Amen. Okay, now we'll talk about Saint Catherine of Siena, who was the saint of the day for April 29th. The value Catherine makes central in her short life, and which sounds clearly and consistently through her experience, is complete surrender to Jesus Christ. What is most impressive about her is that she learns to view her surrender to her Lord as a goal to be reached through time. She was the 23rd child of Jacopo and Lapa Benincasa, and grew up as an intelligent, cheerful, and intensely religious person. Catherine disappointed her mother by cutting off her hair as a as a protest against being overly encouraged to improve her appearance in order to attract a husband. Her father ordered her to be left in peace, and she was given a room of her own for prayer and meditation. She entered the Dominican Third Order at 18 and spent the next 3 years in seclusion, prayer, and austerity. Gradually, a group of followers gathered around her, men and women, priests and religious. An active public apostolate grew out of her contemplative life. Her letters, mostly for spiritual instruction and encouragement of her followers, began to take more and more note of public affairs. Opposition and slander resulted from her mixing fearlessly with the world and speaking with the candor and authority of one completely committed to Christ. She was cleared of all charges at the Dominican General Chapter of 1374. Her public influence reached great heights because of her evident holiness, her membership in the Dominican Third Order, and the deep impression she made on the Pope. She worked tirelessly for the crusade against the Turks and for peace between Florence and the Pope. In 1378, the Great Schism began, splitting the allegiance of Christendom between two, then three, popes, and putting even saints on opposing sides. Catherine spent the last 2 years of her life in Rome, in prayer, and pleading on behalf of the cause of Pope Urban VI and the unity of the Church. She offered herself as a victim for the Church in its agony. She died surrounded by her children, in quotes, and was canonized in 1461. Catherine ranks high among the mystics and spiritual writers of the Church. In 1939, she and Francis of Assisi were declared co-patrons of Italy. Pope Paul VI named her and Saint Teresa of Avila Doctors of the Church in 1970. Her spiritual testament is found in the Dialogue. Reflection. Though Catherine lived her life in a faith experience and spirituality far different from that of our own time, Catherine of Siena stands as a companion with us on the Christian journey in her undivided effort to invite the Lord to take flesh in her own life. Events which might make us wince or chuckle or even yawn fill her biographies. A mystical experience at 6, childhood betrothal to Christ, stories of harsh asceticism, her frequent ecstatic visions. Still, Catherine lived in an age which did not know the rapid change of 21st century mobile America. The value of her life for us today lies in her recognition of holiness as a goal to be sought over the course of a lifetime. Okay, lastly, we'll talk about Saint Joseph the Worker. His feast day is today, May 1st. To foster deep devotion to Saint Joseph among Catholics, and in response to the May Day celebrations for workers sponsored by communists, Pope Pius XII instituted the feast of Saint Joseph the Worker in 1955. This feast extends the long relationship between Joseph and the cause of workers in both Catholic faith and devotion. Beginning in the book of Genesis, the dignity of human work has long been celebrated as a participation in the creative work of God. By work, humankind both fulfills the command found in Genesis to care for the earth and to be productive in their labors. Saint Joseph, the carpenter and foster father of Jesus, is but one example of the holiness of human labor. Jesus, too, was a carpenter. He learned the trade from Saint Joseph and spent his early adult years working side by side in Joseph's carpentry shop before leaving to pursue his ministry as preacher and healer. In his encyclical Laborem Exercens, Pope John Paul II stated, "The Church considers it her task always to call attention to the dignity and rights of those who work, to condemn situations in which that dignity and those rights are violated, and to help to guide social changes so as to ensure authentic progress by man and society." Saint Joseph is held up as a model of such work. Pope Pius XII emphasized this when he said, quote, "The Spirit flows to you and to all men from the heart of the God-man, Savior of the world. But certainly, no worker was ever more completely and profoundly penetrated by it than the foster father of Jesus, who lived with him in closest intimacy and community of family life and work." Close quote. Reflection. To capture the devotion to Saint Joseph within the Catholic liturgy, in 1870, Pope Pius IX declared Saint Joseph the patron of the Universal Church. In 1955, Pope Pius XII added the feast of Saint Joseph the Worker. The silent saint, who was given the noble task of caring and watching over the Virgin Mary and Jesus, now cares for and watches over the Church and models for all the dignity of human work. One announcement. At Relevant Radio today, May 1st, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, there we will be saying the Saint Joseph Worker Novena, and they will have a consecration of the listeners to Saint Joseph. You can watch it from the Relevant Radio app or on their website, which is www.relevantradio.com, or listen to Relevant Radio on the radio in our area here in Delaware and Pennsylvania. It's on radio station 640 AM WWJZ. Okay. Now we will pray our Legion of Mary Tessera prayers. Catena Legionis. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth, all ages will call me blessed. The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name. His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him. He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted. He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly. He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty. He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy, the mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the Most Blessed Virgin, your Mother, to be our Mother also, and our Mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you, seeking your favors, may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen. Concluding prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers in our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces, pray for us. Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, pray for us. All you heavenly powers, Mary's legion of angels, pray for us. Saint John the Baptist, pray for us. Saints Peter and Paul, pray for us. Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor. A faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. A courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls. A faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire, to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that, the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, we have we will be praying two prayers for the coronavirus, for protection against coronavirus. The first one is a prayer to Saint Corona, patron of pandemics. O Saint Corona, who fearlessly gave your life to bring comfort to the suffering, we beg your intercession during this time of pandemic. By your holy martyrdom, you gave us an example to follow, that we may lay down our lives for one another. May you intercede for us all, that we may imitate your compassion and courage. May Almighty God, who you so faithfully loved and served, grant us every grace and protection from the range of disease. May we not give in to anxiety or fear, which would cause us to lose confidence in God's divine providence. Amen. Prayer to the Holy Trinity against the coronavirus. Heavenly Father, loving and merciful God, we worship and adore you. In faith, we come before you asking for mercy and forgiveness for our sins against you and your creation. In this time of anxiety and distress, we lift up to you the COVID-19 situation throughout the world. Father, we beg you to halt the spread of this disease and to grant the healing and comfort of those afflicted. Please cover everyone with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus, and protect all of us, especially those in the medical field, from any infection and harm. Lord Jesus, we beseech you to grant your grace to government leaders and medical experts with wisdom and knowledge to combat the spread of COVID-19 and to find a cure for it. Holy Spirit, please breathe peace and new life into everyone. May you grace us with a strong sense of social responsibility to do the necessary and to be prudent and considerate in our actions. Bless all people to work together as one family of God and to be compassionate to one another. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I end, I would like to make one more announcement. Most of us in the Legion of Mary in St. Mary of the Assumption Church and our families joined the Office of the New Evangelization in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia in their Rosary Campaign for an end to the coronavirus. We pray the Rosary at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You would just go to the website, their website, which is www.philievange.org/rosary. Philievange is philievange.org. And then you can access the Zoom link from there. Also, Pope Francis encourages us to pray the Rosary daily this month of May, the month of our Blessed Mother Mary. And also, he asked us to end the rosary with the following prayers. The prayer for protection against coronavirus. And one other prayer. I can pray it with you. And you can find it in VaticanNews.va. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Mary, you shine continuously on our journey as a sign of salvation and hope. We entrust ourselves to you, health of the sick, who at the foot of the cross were united with Jesus' suffering and persevered in your faith. Protect us of the Roman people. You know our needs, and we know that you will provide, so that as at Cana in Galilee, joy and celebration may return after this time of trial. Help us, Mother of Divine Love, to conform ourselves to the will of the Father and to do what Jesus tells us, for he took upon himself our suffering and burdened himself with our sorrows to bring us through the cross to the joy of the resurrection. Amen. We fly to your protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions in our necessities, but deliver us always from every danger, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. We fly to your protection, O Holy Mother of God, in the present tragic situation when the whole world is prey to suffering and anxiety. We fly to you, Mother of God, and our Mother, and seek refuge under your protection. Virgin Mary, turn your merciful eyes towards us amid this coronavirus pandemic. Comfort those who are distraught and mourn their loved ones who have died, and at times are buried in a way that grieves them deeply. Be close to those who are concerned for their loved ones who are sick and who, in order to prevent the spread of the disease, cannot be close to them. fill with hope those who are troubled by the uncertainty of the future and the consequences for the economy and employment. Mother of God and our Mother, pray for us to God, the Father of mercies, that this great suffering may end and that hope and peace may dawn anew. Plead with your divine Son as you did at Cana, so that the families of the sick and the victims be comforted and their hearts be opened to confidence and trust. Protect those doctors, nurses, health workers, and volunteers who are on the front line of this emergency and are risking their lives to save others. Support their heroic effort and grant them strength and generosity and continued health. Be close to those who assist the sick night and day, and to priests who, in their pastoral concern and fidelity to the gospel, are trying to help and support everyone. Blessed Virgin, illumine the minds of men and women engaged in scientific research that they may find effective solutions to overcome this virus. Support national leaders that with wisdom, solicitude, and generosity, they may come to the aid of those lacking the basic necessities of life and may devise social and economic solutions inspired by farsightedness and solidarity. Mary, most holy, stir our consciences so that the enormous funds invested in developing and stockpiling arms will instead be spent on promoting effective research on how to prevent similar tragedies from occurring in the future. Beloved Mother, help us realize that we are all members of one great family and to recognize the bond that unites us, so that in a spirit of fraternity and solidarity, we can help to alleviate countless situations of poverty and need. Make us strong in faith, persevering in service, constant in prayer. Mary, consolation of the afflicted, embrace all your children in distress, and pray that God will stretch out his all-powerful hand and free us from this terrible pandemic, so that life can serenely resume its normal course. To you, who shine on our journey as a sign of salvation and hope, do we entrust ourselves, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Amen. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hokesin, Delaware. AJ Laporto, who provided the music, and all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. And may God's abundant blessing be upon all of you.